Welcome, everybody. Few known faces, few new ones. My name is Wouter van Vught. I'm a SharePoint guy. Been doing SharePoint 14 for quite some time. SharePoint 12 too. Lucky enough not to do SharePoint 11. Perhaps some of you did do SharePoint 11 for some time. I'm a SharePoint MVP guy as well, meaning that I spend basically way too much time doing SharePoint development, right? Today I'm going to talk to you about the core of SharePoint, SharePoint lists, some of the basics. Although some of these basics is something I see people struggling with still from time to time. And that's a shame, so I thought I'd give a session about it, how to customize lists, what you can do with them. And basically what I see happening, for instance, in my current development team, I'm currently being employed by a large pension fund where we have a multitude of SharePoint sites, public-facing, internally-facing, that kind of stuff. And I see that they actually created their own XML-based list provisioning system. Yeah, that's smart if SharePoint has an XML-based list provisioning system. And the funny thing is that their XML actually was quite similar to the thing that SharePoint has natively. And it's like, yeah, perhaps you better not do that and just use what's in the box. And I also see a lot of people defining lists in code. And they're a little bit scared on doing list development and creating views and all that kind of stuff that you can do, well, in code, of course, but also in XML, which is way easier and way faster. But they decided against that, and I think that may have to do with a little bit of SharePoint 2007 legacy. So how many of you have seen SharePoint 2007 list definitions? And the big kahuna burger XML that you get out of that, with all the camel rendering stuff that you never have to change unless you're really, really funky? Right? That's, of course, something that scares people into not using list definitions, I can imagine that. But even there, if you were just cutting through the crap a little bit and closing all the nodes that you don't need, it was still very easy for you to define a new view using just XML and have it going quite quickly. So in 2010, that's a whole lot easier nowadays, now that we have separated the camel rendering or removed camel rendering in favor of XSLT, meaning your list definitions become smaller and, well, are easier to be understood by people. But I saw all of these strange things happening within a company which really does quite a lot of SharePoint, and I was like, yeah, well, probably it's good just to hit home the basics of SharePoint. And of course, the core of SharePoint is a list or a document library, which is just another list. So for today, I have very little slides. Actually, I only have like one slide or something. And the rest I'm going to do in code. I'm just going to go ahead and create some cool stuff for you. So stuff I want to focus on today. Well, SharePoint lists, so that's the really bad thing. I was just in a session about Windows Phone threading. And that means that you need to say the word thread a lot. That's really annoying. So by the time that you're like 60 minutes into the session, you will have heard the word thread about 60 million times. The same is going to go for list and view and form for me today. So I'll say list and form and view a lot. First, I want to focus on a little bit about, well, how do I do list provisioning? How do I access list in code? How do we do really basic stuff? And from there on, I want to focus on how you can customize and provision custom lists and custom views and custom forms, the stuff that you want to do to, well, enable people to enter data more easily or to view data more easily inside SharePoint. And be it that all data in SharePoint is typically a list, that is something that I see quite, well, needed quite often, right? So it's definitely something that I've been doing quite a lot. And some of the samples I want to show you today, some of the things I want to go into, is how do you create a SharePoint list form with a database lookup, right? It's not just a text field. I want to have the text field populated from whatever SQL database or whatever you have in the backend. And one of the common things I see people doing for that database lookups is to create a custom field type. How many of you would create a custom field type to do a database lookup? I would say probably quite a few who would not even know where to start to do a database lookup in a form. And for the rest of you, there's the exit. Okay. Not that I don't want you here, right? It's the other thing that I want to go ahead and focus on is views, rendering views, changing the rendering of views. And for that, I created some fun fun things, custom XSLT rendering, something that you can do. And they also created a nice Silverlight-based form where we have a sample of an address list, really awesome data, addresses. And basically, instead of having a display form which shows you the address in textual form, I'm going to load up Bing Maps, and it's just going to zoom down into that address using Bing Maps API. And that's, of course, a much nicer way to look at an address, and it's definitely a nicer way to enter a new address by clicking on a map. That's not entirely true, because the house number will be really difficult to get right by just clicking. But hey, it's all a sample just to show you how you can really customize the SharePoint environment and do various things with, well, the thing that makes SharePoint SharePoint, a list. And that was about it for my slides. Of course, I do have a bunch of demos. I want to create most of them as we go, because I like programming. I hope you guys like programming too. One thing I forgot to do, which is really bad of me, is this readable in the back? Should I make a larger one notch? I can do that. I hear a yes, please. We'll go to the yes, please option and just make it a little bit bigger. It needs to load up a lot of fonts and colors. And there we go. It's on 12. Let's put it on something like 16. Which will hopefully become more readable to you guys. Yeah? Like that? Me too. Okay, now I'll scroll down. Oh, wait, sorry. Okay, well, let's go ahead and start doing lists. I would say that first let me get a little bit of a feel for my crowd, actually. How many of you would say that they feel proficient with defining and provisioning and creating lists and working with them in code and doing stuff, creating list templates? How many of you create custom list templates? Okay, that's not a whole lot. It means that I can just get started from the start and end at the end, hopefully, if time permits. 68 and somewhat minutes I have for that. So let's go ahead and start to dive into Visual Studio, the favorite place for any developer. And we can go ahead and also open up SharePoint. I've got my wingtip server side over here, which is my demo. It's a normal empty site. And let's go ahead and allow that one to fire up as well. And I'll just go ahead and create a new empty SharePoint project. And basically name it something and never ever make the mistake of doing that in a sandbox. So we'll go for the normal option. The sanity option, I call it. Actually, sandboxing could be cool if you have a large market and an interesting app for you to work with. So we have SharePoint. It has, of course, an overview of all kinds of lists. And one of the first thing I want to go ahead and focus on is the types of lists that SharePoint has and how do they come into being. Because if you check it out, we can see that here we are in a viewList.aspx, base type equals 0. Okay, that's interesting. And here in libraries, base type equals 1. So there's probably a difference there, right? So lists have a certain type for SharePoint. So it's not all the same. And of course, we can go ahead and create new stuff. And if you go ahead and create new stuff, you can do that in the UI. Well, let's go over to announcements, create a new list. I'll call it even new list. Doesn't really matter. And we have provisioned the list. So you already see there's a separation between template and instance. And you can do stuff with that. And of course, that stuff is going to be interesting for you to customize. And of course, we can do a lot of those things in the UI. But of course, if you're a developer, one thing I always try and ensure is that my installation document is like yay big and my code is yay big. Otherwise, people will need to go ahead and configure your app after they deploy it, and that's never a fun thing, and typically people make mistakes. So of course, all this UI stuff that you see is something that, well, we want to work around, really don't really want to have it. And it's already a choice for you whether you will allow people to customize the list that you provide to people, right? How many of you would say that if they create a custom list that they set sealed to true or allow modification and allowing editing of columns, that kind of stuff? Do you ever worry about that? Very little, because in the end, SharePoint is a very dynamic box of data. People can add stuff, remove stuff. And if you want to have working code that works now and into the future, I would definitely say that that's something for you to focus on and prevent people from deleting columns that you need for your calculations or whatever you need it for, right? So be careful with that. So the default is, of course, fully customizable. You can put data in, you can create columns, modify the views, blah, 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 all the things that you normally see. But let's go ahead and not dive into the UI, but let's dive into how we can do the same thing from inside Visual Studio. And of course, the very basic thing for you to do is to say add new item. And since we're now in the nice 2010 mode, we can actually say, let's create a new list instance. And I'll call this the announcements list. And we can basically fire it up. It will hook up to my SharePoint site, find all the list templates that are available, allows me to pick one. And then way I can provision my list using a little bit of code. So I'm just going to name it announcements. It's going to be announcement type list. We can have a description. We could use the lists as a sort of folder thingy, and we could add it to the quick launch toolbar if you want to do that. Basically provision it out, create my feature. One thing, I'm a little bit anal. I always go ahead and hate seeing a one or something in my code, so I'll just name this feature web. And also need to rename it over there. And I've been noticing this in my Visual Studio today, that it doesn't really automatically add the items into the feature. That's something I need to remember for the rest of this session. Otherwise, you'll see me messing up and saying, hey, why is my list not there? Well, because it's not in the feature. Right, so we have basically the same type of information. You can almost enter in the UI. You can set a few of these types of things. And the first interesting things I want to go ahead and focus on is what defines a SharePoint list. And if you check out SharePoint, we come from ages back, right? SharePoint 2001, which was not SharePoint, but STS. And then you get 2003, 2007, 2010. And of course, moving towards 20, whatever number they will think up, SharePoint 15. And in SharePoint 2003, something that was not really available was features. So a list always had an identifier, which was the template type. And this is already one of the first interesting things, because if you check out the template type, this is the identifier of the list, and 104, as any SharePoint developer knows, stands for announcements, 101 for document library, 100 for custom list, stuff like that. But now we also have a feature ID. And one of the guidances that you see on MSDN is to update your template type to be a unique number above 10,000, and you name it 10,001. Right, that's something that you often see if you create a custom list template. Of course, here I am provisioning a normal announcement list, so no custom stuff yet. But we do see that there's two identifiers being, well, specified when we go ahead and create a list. And when we start to create custom lists, these two identifiers will become important to you as well, because SharePoint internally only checks the template type and the feature it doesn't check anymore. So if you ever want to provision a custom workflow list that you have customized with columns and stuff that you want to put in there, you'd better not name it a 10,001, because SharePoint will validate whether it's actually a workflow task list, check the number, and if your number is not 108 or something, then it's going to fail on you. So these identifiers will be important to you. So when we go ahead and provision this stuff and we want to work with that, we can, of course, go ahead and deploy it out. And as that is happening, we can go ahead and refresh my site for a minute. There we go. And we can go back into, let's go to lists, and it will find my announcement list in there. And of course, we can also provision some data using a list instance if you want to play with that. But let's go ahead and make it more interesting, because now that we have a list, we want to show the data somewhere, right? We want to have places where people can work with the data. And one of the things I'm moving away from in favor of more dashboard-like applications is for people to keep on working with the list UI. One of the things that SharePoint 2010 does really heavily is moving away from a core focus of list and library into a focus on pages and websites, right? So one of the nicer things is if somebody was able to go to wingtip servers/announcements.aspx or something like that. Of course, this page doesn't exist currently, and we need to create that, and we need to put some announcements on there. So first, let me go ahead and provision some data, and we'll create some rows, and we'll have a row, we'll have a field, the name is going to be title, and this is going to be item one, And of course, we also have a field name is body, and that is this is item one, something like that. And let's just add two rows just for the fun of it. And there we go. So now we have some data to show, and let's go ahead and ensure that we can now add a new page where we can view this data in its native form using, well, a list UI, but not on a typical form page or view page that is difficult to reach and not really nice in the URL structure. So I'll create a module, I'll call it site pages, and as I go into the site pages, you'll see that we'll get a sample.txt. We don't want to have a text file. We cannot really provision any web parts on text files, so let's not do that. And instead, I want to go ahead and provision an ASPX page. And one of the common tricks I use to, well, create a basic ASPX page that works for me for just provisioning and showing stuff, I just go into SharePoint. And one of the big things I like about SharePoint is that everything is already defined and able to be found inside the layouts and feature folders and stuff like that. It's already in there, right? There's just very little that you have to, well, learn without example. Of course, SharePoint is a tool that needs to have samples, but the samples is the product itself. So if you go into template and into site templates, I usually go to SDS, the normal SharePoint team site, right? Team sites, empty sites. And there's a default.aspx, which is perfect for provisioning and working with lists and web parts. So just throw that one in there, and I'll provision it into a page called announcements.aspx. And of course, now comes the fun stuff. How can we now access that list and put it on here and start to work with them? Well, some of the common things that you can now do. First of all, let's add some UI for navigation. So ID 1002, that is equal to the top navigation bar. That is very legacy, still works though. So that's usually a good trick for you to work with. I'll just call it announcements, and I'll say the position is going to be end. There we go. I should probably just self-close that. And the first thing that we can do to work with a list is just go ahead and create a view on that. We'll say the base view ID equals 1. How do you know whether you, what number you need to specify? Well, this is one of the views of the list. I'll show you where you can find this number in a bit. I'll just go ahead and I'll need to say the web part zone ID, that's going to be in the left zone. The web part order is going to be 1. Let's go ahead and give it a name, and it's going to be all announcements. And I think that's just going to be about it, all the thing that I need. And basically what we now get, if you go ahead and provision something like this, is I still need to specify the list. That's very important if you specify a view. And how do you specify a list? Well, you specify the URL. Of course, it's going to be the web relative URL. It's going to be equal to the stuff that you provisioned. So you basically throw that stuff in there, and now we have a view on that announcement list provisioned to a page, and there you can have more fun with it because you can easily provision master detail stuff, other web parts, and make it into a dashboard-like environment where people can really start to do things. So let's go ahead and provision that stuff out. I'll probably get some conflicts here that we can resolve automatically. It's going to throw away the existing list and stuff and put new stuff in there. So that's definitely good. And we should be able to visit this page now and find my list view provisioned. Parsing and compiling. I hope SharePoint 15 will do ASP.NET 4.0, meaning that it will no longer have to parse and compile the whole time because it can reuse existing DLLs. And I wish I didn't make a typo. But we can, of course, go back over here because I did add a navbar page. So it's likely going to have, what did I type? Announcements.aspx. That's sort of correct, right? Wait. You guys should warn me. Right here, this is like the first thing that I'm doing. Oh my God. There we go. It's really painful that it's not auto-adding anymore. One thing I do have, which is kind of fun, I do have special buttons that you guys don't have. Remove from all the features, meaning if you don't know where SharePoint adds it, if you have like 15 features at web level, it's going to pick one. Just remove it from everything. And next I have add to specific feature. There you go. that's a nice button. You should probably visit somebody's blog and download that stuff. So now that we can go back over here, and we'll just have to wait for it to refresh again for a second, and I can show you that it actually does work and that we do get a provisioned list and that we can really play around with that. I also must apologize that if I sound slightly drunk, I am from the southern part of the country and Carnival has started already today. So that may already have an impact on my laptop though. So that parsed and compiled, of course, and now moving to a new page which needs to compile again. But we do have an announcement list on there. It's provisioned, it has a view, really basic stuff, right? It's all on there, it's all ready and available to me. So using the view element, it's quite easy to go ahead and provision stuff and work with that. And this base view ID that you see over here, well, it all corresponds, of course, to the type of list that we provisioned. And if you check out the type of list that we're provisioning, one of the things that you'll notice is that for Microsoft, all the lists will have their own feature. Well, why is that? Well, that ensures, of course, uniqueness of the template type and the feature ID combination. So they usually put all list templates in a separate feature. I would advise you to do the same, if you can. And inside that schema.xml, we find that there's all kinds of stuff defined for my list. Amongst them, of course, views. And there's my base view ID equals 1. And that base view ID equals 1 is, of course, also what I'm using over here. And this combination basically allows you to go ahead and provision all kinds of different views, because if you use, well, 2, of course, you might get an announcements from me view or whatever, and basically you can play around with that stuff. Of course, this is not really so custom, right? It's really still a basic, boring, plain old SharePoint list, something that is not always as pretty to look at as you might want to. And of course, we can also have more fun with lists and really start working with this at another level. And before I do that, I want to show you a small trick I usually do to work with lists in code. And for that, I would add the canonical class that I have in almost any project that I create, which is the listURL class. Usually, I create a class called FieldID, ContentTypeID, and listURL in my projects. So why is that? Well, I'm going to make this into a static class. I'll add a public static or public const, which is already a static, and it's going to be a string, and it's going to be announcements. And I basically push in here the site relative URL of the list that I just created. So why would I do that? Well, say that you go ahead and create a web part, right? Something that you often do. You say add new item. You'll create a web part, and it's going to be the announcements part. And my announcements part, of course, needs to pick up the current list and really start to work with that and show some neat data. And the neat data that I want to go ahead and show is, let's go ahead and see. I'll go to spcontext.current.web, and I need to go ahead and get a list. And of course, you need to specify the site relative URL, but you need to understand it as being a server relative URL, meaning it needs to start with a slash. And if it needs to start with a slash, you need to start calculating stuff using the spurl utility. Dot combine URL, spcontext.current.web.serverRelativeURL combined with listURL.announcements. And this is always, no matter where I provision my list, whether it is in a root site collection or within any other site collection which has a managed path which is not equal to slash, right? Slash site, slash blah. This code will, of course, still work. And one of the things I like is basically coding something up this way, or perhaps even augmenting the listURL class to basically say get announcement list or something, meaning that you now have basically a nice structure for you to work with, same for field IDs, content type IDs. And now that you have this thing, I could instantiate the list view renderer. Isn't that a class? I believe it was a class. Microsoft SharePoint Web Controls List View. Oh, list view by query, that was it. And the list view by query, let's go ahead and create a new view. You can say, let's instantiate it. I'll need to set some properties, namely the list is going to be my announcements. I need to specify the query, which is going to be a new SP query for the announcements default view. And basically, we now have set up, and we'll say controls.add view, and we'll say ensure child controls created equals true, right? So that's a very basic way for you to access a list and work with that in code. And for those of you who don't know the list view by query class, it's kind of a class that allows you to render a list in code without needing to do anything with grid views, and you get sorting and paging and all of that stuff you basically get out of the box. So now that I have my web part, I'll just go ahead and take this web part. I'll have a new site level feature. I most likely will have to add that web part into the feature, otherwise the save control is not going to be there. And I can basically take this web part, go to my site pages, elements, and there where I've created my view, I can also create an all users web part. Say the web part zone is going to be left, web part order is going to be 2, just to put it in the second place. We'll have a parsed character data section, plug all of this stuff in, and well, basically you're done with creating your code-based view, and we can deploy that stuff out. Let me think whether I missed anything. No, I don't think so. So let's go ahead and deploy that. And now it's activating the feature web before the feature site. That's what you get if you're not really managing your project yourself, right? You get all these funky things. In order to set that straight for the future, let's remove web, add site, add web. Now it's good again. They should have added, there is the reordering buttons. Did I really miss the reordering buttons? Yes, I did. Sometimes that happens. So go back to announcements and we'll see that we now have basically, well, the same view two times over, one based on code, the other based on a default provisioning system of SharePoint, and basically both work. And of course, one allows you to customize it in ways that some default view definition doesn't really allow you to do. But of course, this is all not something how SharePoint natively will be changed because it's not using XSLT rendering, but I'm going to dive into that right now after this one loads up for me. So let's see. You can do it. There we go. And this one is now basically based on code. It's a normal web part. But you do see that you still get all kinds of stuff where you can work with list items. You can. It may have been deleted. That's an interesting message from a web page to get. Let's not focus on that right now. Let's see if my mouse still works. It's a little bit of a black table here, which is sort of reflective, so that might be some issue from time to time. So the next thing I want to go ahead and dive into is, what do you really see when you have something like that on your page? If you check out SharePoint 2003, 7, 2010, they really started modifying the rendering technology that is the underpinnings of a list, right? So 2003, 2007, it was CAML. And the thing about CAML is that it's not really a nicely structured language for you to follow. It contains HTML blobs together with if logic, for statements, all kinds of stuff. And it makes it really difficult to work with because sometimes you'll notice that an opening tag sits over there and the closing tag sits way down below and there's no direct relation in XML between the two, so that CAML rendering stuff was really painful. I know the guy who really wrote a spec on CAML rendering and he apologizes to you guys. We moved to XSLT in SharePoint 2010. So what you're seeing right now is an XSLT list view web part. And that is sort of a cool technology to work with, XSLT list view web part. So let me go ahead and play around with XSLT list views to provision UI for a SharePoint list. So we'll go ahead and create another all users web part. Just throw it under that one. I'll say the web part order is going to be 3. And of course, then I would need to know the class name and stuff like that from the XSLT list view web part. I'm just going to go ahead and be lame and steal it from the demo that I created earlier when all of this stuff really messes up and you're like, oh my god, how many bad demos can this guy give? I do have the good ones in here as well. And I can just go ahead and say somewhere, now I actually have to search for it, XSLT list view. There we go. And I can basically copy out the class definition and throw that in there. So we basically point to the class Microsoft SharePoint Web Part Pages, XSLT List View Web Part, Microsoft SharePoint version, blah, blah. And now we can go ahead and start to work with this web part over here. And a few things you need to put in, because an XSLT List View doesn't know what list you want to render. And in order to specify that, you can go ahead and say list name, and we can put in a value over here. And now comes something which is kind of new and neat in SharePoint 2010, because in 2007, you would need to know the GUID of the instantiated list, which is something that you don't know at, well, current times, right? At dev time, you don't know that stuff. So they have this new list ID stuff that you can specify. Then you take the exact site address of the list, you plug that in there as well, and what will happen if you go to the file element all the way on top and you say do GUID fixup equals true, then it will go ahead and it will replace this stuff at runtime with the GUID for the list which it finds in this location, meaning that you can easily point it to, well, that specific list that you want to go ahead and target. And of course, now we also want to go ahead and start to customize stuff. So we say property name, XSL link, and now we can start to specify some custom XSL file for rendering purposes. And that's going to be a fun thing. I will not write the whole XSL myself right now. I'll just create another copy in a second. And how you do that, all the XSL files, well, layouts, that is a little bit lame. I need another folder. All the XSL files are provisioned into SharePoint into the layouts folder. So we go to template, we go to layouts, and we go all the way down to XSL. And inside this folder, you find all the common XSL files that define list rendering. And of course, like any SharePoint developer, I do create a new subfolder for uniqueness purposes. And I basically want to create a new XSL file. Let's add a new XSL file, and I'll call it announcements.xsl. And basically, we can start to render stuff. So we can say output method is HTML. We will not need to indent any of that. And I can go ahead and say something really basic, XSL template match equals the root. And I can say rendered by XSL. Right, so now we have a totally custom view that you can really start to define, well, from the bottom up and really start to fill out. And in order to point the XSLT list view web part to this location, we will say that it sits within the underscore layouts slash XSL slash demo list project slash announcements dot XSL slash property. There we go. And now my XSLT list view is all set up and ready to go ahead and show some custom stuff, and meaning that you really can now start to integrate better UI than a normal tabular form and, well, do some fun things with the XSLT. This one will be provisioned. My site page was already in the feature stuff. I will check my feature stuff. These two are already, yeah, that's all correct. And we'll say deploy. And as soon as that is ready deploying, we'll open up the browser. And while the browser loads, I'll show you a second trick that the XSLT list view stuff has in itself, which is kind of a cool thing. Because besides just doing XSLT, Microsoft chose to take the output of the XSL rendering, and when it finds run at equals server tags being defined in the HTML, it's going to run that through the template-based control in ASP.NET, and it's going to parse that control into an ASP.NET control structure and call render on it, meaning that you can integrate ASP.NET custom controls into the XSL and have it rendered as part of your entire environment, which is kind of neat. So we go ahead and refresh this page. We'll go to... I'll just go over here and refresh that. And in order to go ahead and show you how that works, I'll just go back to my previously created demo, because this is kind of a lot of stuff that you need to set up. But first, let's check out the XSL that I have set up over here for you guys. So I have another XSL file called announcements control. And if I open this one up, there's a few funky things that you see going on over here. The first thing that is interesting is this tag over here. It's going to output a normal ASP.NET register directive. Right, it's going to point into my namespace where I have a control created, and I do have a control somewhere as well, my announcements control. It's really cool announcements control. There you have it. And what you can then basically do is if you have that full assembly name, basically the normal register directory, what you can then go ahead and do is instantiate a new announcements control, run at equal server. And if you are going to provision this stuff out, it's going to go ahead, instantiate that control, and call render on that control as well. Meaning that you can quite easily, if you don't like the XSLT, you put in a single control and do it all in code using Silverlight or whatever technology you feel like. But if you can also start to combine things, right? You can change how a certain field is rendered. Another thing that is being shown in this demo over here that I will make available to you is how you can really start to make a basic tabular view of the data. Because what you will find is you will get a few things being passed into your code. First of all, you see that XML definition over here. Well, that XML definition, that contains all the information about your view, the current columns that are in the view, and the field data, what type of field is it, what's the internal name of the field, blah, blah, blah. All those field settings are basically being provisioned as a piece of XML for you that you can iterate over. And we also, of course, don't have only the field definition, but we also need to have the data definition. And there's a second data structure, which sits in the DSQRResponse XPF expression. And we can iterate over all the rows. And if you do that, of course, we will then iterate over all the fields for each row and create a table cell. And basically, what we will then access is the current data row. And we will match up the values in the data row, which are internal names, by the current field that is inside that XML definition. And basically, you can loop over all of that stuff, and this will basically print out the HTML data of that field for that particular column in that particular row. Right? So this is basically calling spField.renderField as HTML under the covers, or basically that has happened before, and you get the rendered HTML in here. Meaning that you can create, well, easy views on doing stuff with data. You might plug in your ASP.NET control over here to change the rendering of a number, create a slider, I don't know what you want to go ahead and do, but you can really start to play around with that. And you can also see that it's very easy for SharePoint to pick up your custom XSL. It only takes a single XSLT list for your web part, point to the list, point to the XSL, and you're done. And of course, if you want to do that smart, what you will have to do is you will have to go ahead and import all the standard SharePoint stuff, because right now I need to define the rendering of a text field, a number field, a person field. We don't want to do that. And in order to go ahead and ensure that you don't have to do that, Microsoft chose to separate out stuff. For instance, all the view styles, which is a boxed view and all these different view styles that you can define on the list. And we have field types of XSL. And basically, this XSLT file, you can import that into your code as well. And basically, this one defines that if we have a field and that field type is something like text, then you need to render it in a certain way. So if you scroll down far enough, you will see specifics for specific field types. Perhaps I can... here you already see a little bit of that stuff going on, right? So you basically can go ahead and import the default things. And the cool thing is as well, that if you import the default things, XSLT has import precedence, meaning if you first import the default stuff, then you can start to override some of the templates and you can really play around with that. So one really simple example is I had a client that really didn't like the new icon that you get on new list items. They're like, yeah, I don't care. Could you remove that, please? And then you just go ahead and import the normal XSLs, and then you just override a single template because one of those templates defines, well, rendering that new icon. How do you find out which template that is? You use SharePoint Designer. That's probably the easiest thing for you to do. And after you're done with SharePoint Designer, you throw everything away, you wash your hands, and then you implement it in your Visual Studio environment. So we have a little bit of view rendering and customizations and stuff that you can do with that, right? So any questions currently so far on how you can play around with this stuff? Does it do paging? Yes, you can do paging as well, because parameters that you retrieve inside the XSLT, let me open up the normal main.xsl stuff that you have, template, layouts, XSL. Well, if you check out the normal main.xml, .xsl, you do get stuff like what is the current page, what is the current count, blah, blah, blah. And all of these parameters allow you to go ahead and do the paging as well and create hyperlinks for moving to the next page. So yes, paging is definitely something that you could implement yourself as well. And the only thing that you need to do is open up these default XSLs and find out how do they do it. And that's just a few search replaces away, searches away. I learned that if you replace things, it's really bad. If you go to the main.xml and say, hey, let's type a letter A in there somewhere, oh, you'll have a long time finding what's wrong. Actually, at one point in time, I deleted my ribbon definition, and then I was amazed that I didn't have any buttons anymore, and now you need to figure out how that works, or why it is broken. So fun stuff. Let me go back to my bigger demo and see if there's anything that I'm really still missing on that I do want to show you guys. In terms of rendering. Well, here I have another fun small web part which might be interesting. It's also about accessing a list. And this is also a trick that not many people really knew about within my teams. But if you want to get a list which is one of the common lists of SharePoint, the user catalog, for instance, that is also just a list, and you can get it using site.getCatalog. So don't hard code anything like underscore catalog slash blah blah. That's all basically one API call away. And it's just a normal list. And of course, there's many built-in lists that you can go ahead and access, which are interesting. The WebArt gallery is one of them, for instance. And the user information list might be an interesting one for you. The master page catalog, allowing you to pick a master page, for instance, in a drop-down list, something like that. So let's see if there's anything else that I do need to go ahead and show you. I have the areas list, and that was basically a custom list template. So yeah, so now that we have seen a little bit of provisioning a basic list and putting it on a page in various shapes and forms, of course, one of the things that you will want to do is, what if somebody creates a new list instance in the UI? It doesn't have a nice page with custom stuff on it. What you want to go ahead and have is, of course, a template which, well, contains all of these things out of the box. So in order to go ahead and do that, we need to create a list template. And that is quite easy. And now we get into some of the interesting things about SharePoint, which sometimes make it difficult to work with. Namely, that there's two types of list definitions. You also see two types over here. It's not entirely the same. I'll just name my demo list template. Doesn't really matter. I was in the train thinking about all these functional names for you guys, but then again, who cares, right? So we'll create a custom list template. And why would you want to do that? Well, basically because you can ensure that when somebody creates a list instance based on this template, stuff will already be set up correctly. So I'll just go ahead and ensure that it's going to be a list of type tasks, for instance. Wait, is that a good choice? Yeah, that's going to be a good choice. So add it in there. And this is going to be my demo list. Rename that stuff. And since I now know that this is going to fail on me, we add the list definition first, the list instance second. So now at least I didn't forget to do that. And here we can start playing around with custom lists. And you can really start to do quite a lot of things that are interesting. For instance, you can go ahead and say enable versioning. You can enable moderation. Moderated list equal true. Right now you have to approve all the items that go into the list. You can say enable content types, yes or no. Or content types enabled or whatever it is. At least you can... Oh, there it is already on the node over here. So you can really start to play around with all kinds of default settings for, well, setting up a list correctly so that people can easily add new stuff to it. You do also see some SharePoint 2003 legacy stuff where it already has a URL, which is going to be the default provisioning URL, template E. That's kind of a strange name. Let's remove that. So how can we go ahead and start to play with viewing data inside this list? Well, like I said, there's two types of lists that are interesting. You have content type based lists, and you have freeform, no content type lists. And why is that important? Well, you will have to define templates that you want to hook up to this stuff, for instance. And depending on whether it's a content type list or a normal one, it's either going to read a template within the content type or within the list settings itself. And that's going to be difficult for you, because if you do expect, for instance, your settings being applied to a content type, and you don't have content types in your list, it's not going to show the stuff that you want to show it. So one of the things that you can do, this is a content type-free list. It does not have any content types anymore. What does that mean? Well, if I now go ahead and define a field which is not within a content type, give it an ID. I do believe I still have my quick GUID button. Yes, I do. Name is my custom field. And I'll say display name equals my custom field. If I would have a content type-based list and I would still have that content type in there, that field would never be editable, because the content type doesn't reference the field, meaning that you now miss your field, right? It's gone. If you remove all the content types, then that field will be editable, because it's going to look at the list for defining what it will show on a form for you. So it's really important to choose either one. Either you choose content types or not. Is there still a choice in not having content types? Hell yeah. Because why do you have content types? Data reusability, right? The template for data can be reused across lists. And what if you have a single instance list that you will never reuse? Well, you can define content types and create more stuff, or you can create less stuff and have less stuff that can break on you. So I would say that I would then remove the content types out of that. So that's definitely something that is viable for you to use. That's not so relevant right now, because I want to first focus a little bit on views and stuff like that. So if I close down fields, you will find that I have a bunch of view definitions in here. Well, this one is copied from tasks, and it has a whole lot of view definitions in there. My task, your task, completed task, blah, blah, blah. And, well, many of these views, well, first of all, there's only going to be one that's going to be the default. Here we have it. It's usually number one. And it has a few interesting things for you to play with and to work with. So some of the things that I like to, well, work with. Say that you create a custom XSLT, and it's going to need some Silverlight, or it's going to need some jQuery to do the rendering, right? How will you plug in jQuery on this view page? One of the things that you can do is throw it into your master page. That's good if you own the master page and you are ensured that that master page will always be used to view this page. If you create a list template, you don't know that for sure, because, well, if I'm the list guy currently and not the master page guy, who knows what master page I will get? Nobody knows. So the thing that you can do, which is kind of cool, is you can see this setup path over here, and that is basically pointing to the page it will provision to create this view. Every view is an ASPX page. So what we can do is we can create a new SharePoint map folder, go to template/pages. How many of you have mapped template/pages before? Very few of you. Okay, that's cool. So we go to pages, and of course, like any smart developer, we go ahead and add a subfolder, demo list project, name it the same as your project, usually a namespace. And we'll say add existing item, and we'll go back into template, into SharePoint pages, and we'll just take the view page out of there, add it in there. Now we can say, well, the setup path is not going to be pages/view page, but demo list project/view page. And the cool thing about this is that I can now basically just have an ASPX page that I can do stuff with. What is the stuff that I can do with that? Well, for instance, we have the placeholder additional page head, where you usually go ahead and plug in script. So what I would typically do is add a SharePoint script link and basically start managing my JavaScript and allowing my JavaScript to be put on the page using a normal script link. I would probably point it into a layouts folder, right? So you give it a name, and it's going to be something like myscript.js, and that needs to be in the layouts folder, and it will be loaded up for you. If you do it that way, at least you have a cohesive unit of stuff that belongs together and will work as soon as you provision it. So custom view pages is something that I'm used to creating quite often. And another fun thing is, if you see a normal list, you can go to announcements, and you see this view selector menu over here. Well, where does that come from? Well, that's all part of your view page, right? We have the placeholder title in title area, and here we see the list title view selector menu. So you can customize that stuff and have it into a custom experience, perhaps, well, whatever you want to go ahead and show in there. Next, we have a bunch of placeholders for more stuff that is not so interesting, and in the end we'll hit the placeholder main that contains the web part zone that you do need because SharePoint does expect to be able to provision an XSLT list view web part on this page, of course. Right? It's not going to be a web partless page. You need to go ahead and provision an XSL file, load up a SQL control into the XSL, and then you have basically an ASP.NET view without any XSL stuff around that. So do keep in the web part zone if you want to go ahead and go this route. So that's already kind of cool. You can really show that it works by basically typing something over here. We'll have an ASP label run at equals server. And we'll say the for color is going to be fuchsia, meaning that you can actually see it. And we'll say text rendered. There we go. Another cool thing about this schema.xsl is that we also have the XSL link in here. And it works exactly the same as within an XSLT list view web part. And the XSLT list view web part has a sort of loading precedence where it will first look at what it itself has defined within the XSL link property. Next, it has an XSL property where you can really throw in an entire string of XSL, meaning full customized, no template on disk. And if that's all not there, it's going to look at the view and it's going to ask the view, hey, what XSL do you want to go ahead and use? And of course, here we can say default equals false. And what you can plug in here is going to be, I believe, main.xsl. We go to the XSL folder, and we can say something like demo list project slash, and then something like announcements.xsl. And that's also going to be a way for you to hook up the correct XSL information out of the box without actually needing to touch anything else but this. So that's basically some of the stuff I wanted to show you on rendering SharePoint. Without creating any custom field controls to do the rendering for you, because there's a big downside to using custom field controls. Every custom field control, if you access them in code, we have, of course, the SP field type enumeration, SP field type, and all the custom fields that you provision. Wait, isn't there unknown in here? I believe there was like an unknown or crappy or invalid, that was it. Right? So SharePoint will say, WSS will say, SharePoint Foundation, any custom field type, even those coming out of SharePoint server, are considered invalid. And if it is invalid, it will not work on workflow. It will not work on integration into Office, meaning that's really bad. Don't do that. So custom field types is the thing that you should prevent ever creating, especially if the only thing that you want to do is impact rendering. Impacting rendering is using rendering technology such as this. Right? Good stuff. Does it use the base type? You can say allow rendering of base type equals true. And I think it will pick it up, but not in workflow because that's not about rendering. Workflow will say, I cannot put any data into that field because I don't know how to format it. And workflow will just crap out on that field and not do anything. And I've had situations where I had to create custom workflow actions that do recognize a certain field type. So then you have like two actions, update the field or update the list with normal values, and then I have an extra workflow action saying do the custom stuff or my custom field. So it becomes really painful quite quickly. So let's go dive into forms. I want to show you one neat trick about doing forms, another way in which you can customize your environment quite a bit. And the thing I want to go ahead and show you is how can you create a list that does a database lookup, something that is quite common, not to have plain data that people type in, but you have backend systems that you need to go ahead and integrate with. So what I will go ahead and do is I will just remove this project because you've seen most of this stuff in here and it will only prevent me from deploying quickly. Yeah, that's all good. And I'll add a new project. I'll call it demo list form. So if you check out how forms work inside SharePoint, it's also a very extensible system. And again, you have the separation between content type-based lists, where you specify form information within the content type, which forms to render, and content type-free lists, where it will ask the list itself which stuff to render. So the first thing that we will need is a custom list template. So we'll say add new item, we'll say a list definition, and it's going to be a basic list template, whatever. And I'll just go ahead and inherit from custom list, not to have too many columns in there, and we'll just add a list instance as well. And I'm starting to remember this stuff here as well, and I'll just call this one my basic list, and I'll have to rename this one. I cannot be helped, need to call it web, and I will need to call this one web as well. And if I'm really going for points, I would actually go to version and would type 1.0.0.0.0. Then you're like bonus points. That's extra mileage. You would probably get air miles for that. So let's go ahead and see. Form stuff. How does that work? Well, of course, we have our list definition. Still the same stuff in there. We have our view definitions, our form definitions, our content types in here. And of course, currently we have a content type enabled list. So form information will also be read from the content type. So in order to go ahead and ensure that it's not a content type enabled list, I'll just go ahead and do a... Will I do it this way? I can do it this way. I'll say disable content types equals true. And I'll go back to my list and throw away all the content types in there, meaning I can now go ahead and start to customize my form right inside this list template over here without worrying about where to put stuff in content types. And the thing is, you can see the same structure going on over here. You can see where the page is being provisioned to. You can see the source page. So if you want to do some Silverlight or jQuery on your page, same trick as with the view. You just copy that stuff, point to the right ASPX template, and have that one provisioned instead of doing funky things like registering JavaScript globally where you don't need it. But there's this interesting thing over here called a template. And the template is the thing that defines how a form is rendered. And let's go ahead and play with that. So we'll just have a template name and also a basic list form. Give it a name. And it's going to be display, so I'll say basic list. It's going to support both display and editing, probably. So where does this template name point to? Well, SharePoint has separated out rendering of SharePoint lists into ASP.NET instead of doing CAML stuff for forms as well. And what it does is inside the template slash control templates folder, we have a file called defaulttemplates.ascx. If you open this stuff up, you will find that it has rendering templates. And one of the rendering templates that it has is list form. There we go. And basically, this is the stuff that you see when you edit or view a list, meaning that you can start to put stuff in here. First of all, you can see the quality of HTML with a span containing a div, but that's, of course, very SharePoint, not to have the best HTML that one can think of. And we do see the toolbar, which you don't see nowadays anymore because it's integrated into the ribbon, which it happens automatically. We can see the place where it starts to show all the columns of my list. So the list field iterator that renders out the name and the text box and the name and the text box, all that kind of stuff. And then further down below, you can see the save button being created. And this is kind of interesting because stuff that you can do over here is you can integrate or replace the save button. And when you do replace the save button, you can make it do something custom, like first looking up some data before you save it, pre-calculate some data before you save it out. Stuff like that can be easily done using integration into this area over here. So in order to go ahead and start to customize that, the first thing I want to go ahead and do is make a copy. So we'll go to my project. I'll say add SharePoint mapped folder. We'll say go to template. We'll need to go into the control template folder. I have all these languages because I've installed PowerPivot. And PowerPivot installs all the languages known to man. It's very annoying if you never ever touch those folders. But hey, that's just what happens. So we go to control templates. And this time around, I will not create a subfolder because these rendering templates are not picked up from subfolders. So the thing that you need to do is you need to create a user control. You need to give it a unique name, which is scope to your project. Usually your project has namespaces in it and stuff like that, right? my.project.very cool stuff. And of course, you name your ASCX file in the same way to prevent collisions with other people's cool stuff. And basically add that in there. And I will throw away the code behind because we don't have any code behind on that. And now we have some directives. And the thing I usually do is I first begin with copying all of these things in here. At least now you know that you have all the namespaces and register stuff that you need in order to make it work. And you have your first rendering template. And now we can start copying stuff out. So the first one that we want to copy out is list form. So here we have list form. Copy, copy, copy. And basically replace it over here. And since we are not using list form, but we're using go to my schema, basic list form. And you basically plug that name in there. Done. Now this template is going to define the rendering of the display edit and new form. Or wait, the display form currently only because I only plugged that stuff in there. But now it's going to define it for all the three of them. Meaning if I go over here and if I do something like render a p-tag, panel, well, that is, I don't want a panel, I want a p-tag. This stuff is custom. Right, so we can really start to see that that will actually work for you. We can actually deploy it out. I'll do that once. Let's see if everything is in there. We have the list form. We had a template pointing to it. We have a list instance allowing us to work with that. I can actually say set a startup item. And everything should be provisioned in a feature. Yes, that's all correct. It's kind of painful if you only have 75 minutes to show all the awesomeness that the demos will fit. Takes a lot of time to fix stuff, right? So let's go back into SharePoint, into lists, and basically wait for that one to load up. And probably a good time for me to ask around and see if this is actually new stuff for you guys. Or you're like, oh man, that's so common. I can see some faces saying, yeah, that's new for me. That's good. I'm still going to continue otherwise anyway, but that's what you get. So we have basic demo list form, basic list, go to add new item. Now that's really messed up. See, and this is the point in time where you have too little time to actually make this demo work, and you're very happy that I have another Visual Studio open where it does work. Isn't that something? So here, I'm just going to go ahead and create a DB lookup list. I'll just provision this one. Deploy. Now, I do love typing like demos as we go. But the risk is that you make some small typo somewhere and it's going to fail on you. It's also cool. They started naming my app pools in this way, where they have like time in it. It's the SharePoint 80 app pool created on this date at that point in time. Don't know why that is interesting, but it's doing it. So go to Wingtip Server, and I basically have, inside this demo, the same stuff I just shown you. First of all, I have something known as the lodging list, which is just another lame name to give a list. And if I open this stuff up, you will see that I did the exact same stuff. I have a lodging list display form, and if I go into my control templates, you will find that I have a rendering template called lodging list display form, and that is basically saying this is the display form for the lodging list. So if I go to lodgings, I already provisioned a data item in there, and if I check out this data item, it needs to parse the... That's the thing, you have default of ASPX needs to be parsed and compiled, your view page and your form page at three different compilations, so you have to wait three times. If I open this one up, it's actually going to say, hey, that's my display form. So fully custom, and you can start doing ASP.NET or whatever you want to go ahead and start plugging in there, right? Doesn't really matter. So I also have a little bit of more advanced stuff, because if you start to check out how these things really work, right? If you check out the default list templates, how does this all work? Well, most of this stuff, this is just extra information, stuff above all the editing of the fields. And at one point in time, you will bump into the list field iterator. And a list field iterator is a class you can implement yourself, meaning that you can create a form that doesn't show certain fields in the editing UI because you just don't want to show them for this particular form. You can, of course, also say to the field editable no that it will not show in any form, but you can do it per form by basically overriding the list field iterator and skipping over a certain field. The thing that you can do, the list field iterator, it instantiates for each field the list field iterator template. So if I go to the list field iterator template, what does it do? It renders out a row for that particular field, and that is going to render out a composite field. And a composite field, that's the stuff that you recognize as a normal editing form. You have the label on the left-hand side in a table cell. There we go. Oh, don't go down. Stay where you are. And we have the label for that field. And next we have something known as a form field. And what is a form field? That renders the text box to edit the data. Or it will render a date picker for editing dates. It will render a people picker for doing people stuff. Right? So it will check out the field type that is currently rendering as, and it will instantiate the correct control. How does it know what control to render? Well, it knows it very easily because every SP field that you have has got a property field rendering control. It will just open that stuff up and instantiate it and render it. But if you check out form field, we can actually create our own form field. So what I have over here is a DB lookup list. And it does the same thing you've just been seeing, only this time around, it does it in a content type. How does that content type look, and how do you hook up your content type into the custom rendering? Well, here's my content type definition. And you have the XML document extensibility model. And there's this one particular namespace called SharePoint V3 content type form. And if you plug that stuff in here, you can say, well, for edit and for new, I want to load up this template instead of the default template. How do you ever figure out such a thing? Like I said, SharePoint is the thing that shows you how stuff works. It's already in there. And if you go to Program Files, Common Files, Microsoft Shared, Web Server Extensions 14/Templates/Features, Content Types, and the default content type, hey, wait, the normal item content type contains exactly that template containing the default for all the items, right? Just copy it out, change it, done. You don't have to use MSDN to look up this stuff or a blog or whatever. It's all in there. So basically, my content type is pointing to the DB lookup form. And inside my template, I have my DB lookup form. And I changed it a bit. Let's close this one down a bit. I have my list field iterator over here. And this time around, I hooked up a custom template. DB lookup list field iterator. Go down. How do you create this template? You copy the normal list field iterator template, you rename it, and you change what you want. I still want to have the name value separation in two table cells. I only want to have it a custom form field. So I'm pointing to the next custom template name for the custom composite field. Now we have a DB lookup composite field containing your left cell with the name of the field, the right cell with the form field, but this time around I'm instantiating my form field. And if you go ahead and do that, what you will see is I have a control named my form field. There we go. And what I did is say, hey, when you are creating yourself and your field that you're creating yourself for is the title field, I want you to instantiate my own custom title field instead of doing the normal basic stuff, which will be a text box. And what I'm doing over here is no database lookup. I've got a control. It has to inherit from base field control, meaning it picks up on rendering stuff and the item and all kinds of things in SharePoint. SharePoint will plug in the value for you. It will extract the value for you as well. And basically, I have a drop-down list, and that drop-down list is hard-coded with a set of items. So if I go to my DB lookup field, him over here, I say add new item, what you will see is that I get a drop-down list. And if I actually pick item 3, save it out, item 3 is there. Meaning that you can now do database lookups. Stuff that I like doing over there instead of drop-down lists is custom item pickers. Picker entities and lookup dialogues, right? The stuff that you see when you're doing people lookups with the resolve button and the booklet button, that kind of thing. And then you can do custom database lookups with advanced UI, which really helps out your users to enter the correct data. Very easy to do, but it does allow you to or need you to have a farm solution. It does not work in sandboxing, of course, all of this stuff. Also why I don't like sandboxing, because many of the customization mechanisms that I'm accustomed to, well, don't work anymore. So that was the thing I wanted to show you about form customization, meaning you can really start to change around quite some stuff. But I do have a last demo for you guys before I'll end up. And that is also focused on the form stuff. I will not go into all of the details because I have way too little time. I would talk about this for an hour. Let me go ahead and first provision it and say just hit deploy. And I'll show you what I have. And I'll also have to check if I have an internet connection, which I do. I've got only a few minutes left today. Skipping application pool recycle because no matching, blah, 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 blah. Oh, that's all well and good. As long as you make it work in the end. There we go. Go to lists. And this demo is, well, basically taking this approach and pimping it to a degree where you would say that it's a functional level for your client. So what I have over here is an address list, addresses, a list containing a set of addresses. I didn't choose to change the view yet. That's still something I wanted to do and render a Bing map with all kinds of pins on it or something. But what I do have is you open up your view form, bam, Silverlight gets in there. We focus down on where I used to live before I moved down south and basically have a custom UI on that. We also have editing as well. If I go over here, I can say edit item. And it will integrate custom ribbon stuff. And if I now go ahead and say, well, Nijmegen, that's no longer the place where my heart lies. I need to go further down south, Best, Gorle. And, of course, the place where all the fun stuff happened, Oosterwijk. And I think I can actually point to my own house, actually. Johannes Vermeerstraat. That is there. Is it the correct number? It's probably over there. That's number 11, no. Oh, see, this is a little bit about this UI. That's number 13. There you go. Publish. And there you go. Right, so now you have a pretty advanced way of integrating stuff into SharePoint using all of this technology. And of course, this is not really just ASP.NET and doing some custom rendering. Instead, I chose to use the last trick in the book that I want to show you, and that is that you can have a list, address list, and instead of provisioning a default list form web part which does the rendering templates, what you can actually do since 2010 is if you have a form, you can say use default list form web part equals new, and then you can provision your own iList form web part. And inside your own iList form web part, you can, of course, start to do the stuff that you want yourself. The thing that you need to do is you need to implement iList web part, and because you do, you're going to get in the list ID, the current page type, the current view flags, and the view ID, which I find kind of strange for a form to have a view ID in there. You don't actually use this property. But using this information, SharePoint knows that there's actually a form on the page, and it will say, okay, no longer need to provision a list form. Here's your own custom UI. You can make it do stuff. And then I chose to integrate with the ribbon, meaning you have to implement iWebPart page component provider. I need to have data being posted back to my control to update the data there. I post back event handler, and a whole slew of code to actually get all of that stuff to work and work together. Right? That's kind of painful. What I'm also using over here is I've got SharePoint. We have ASP.NET. It renders out HTML. HTML uses JavaScript to load up Silverlight. Silverlight gets hooked up to the JavaScript for change events. When I have a change event in Silverlight, I push the data back into a hidden field, and that hidden field gets posted back to ASP.NET on the server for updating purposes. You could also use client object model if you wanted to do that. Didn't want to do it in this demo. Definitely viable, definitely possible, perhaps even easier than doing all of the hookups and blah, 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 but it's also an approach for you. So that was about it. I've got about 2 minutes left for questions. Thank you for your time, and are there any questions that I can still answer for you guys? Must be a one-minute question, though.
Uh-huh.
Would the Content Query web part also support this rendering of XSLT with web controls in it? I do not know. That was a 1 minute question though, that was good. No more? Well, you can also walk up to me. I'll be at the Ask the Expert booth. Thank you for your time. Hope you enjoyed yourself and have a good day.